going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on Thanksgiving Day. Bringing you a special edition of Lineup Logic here, a quick pod for you guys breaking down the Thursday Thanksgiving slate. We call this the Lineup Logic Thanksgiving Spectacular. All right, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. couple things going on. One, tonight, patrons, there is going to be also the Thanksgiving Spectacular crowdcast. We are going to get over there on Patreon. Mike Alexander, Joe Berg, Scott, Ryan, hopefully myself, will go ahead and get you guys a little video breakdown of some of our favorite plays live stream. And patrons, there's going to be a gratitude pool for you on Thanksgiving. I'm going to throw out some contests for you guys where a little bit of loyalty, appreciation for those guys who are with us in Thanksgiving. Winners, you get your subscriptions paid for. So we will do that. Patrons, look for that. One of the many perks we do, the loyalty pools every so often, where I pay you back for sticking with the team and making this all possible. So I appreciate that. But just so you guys are aware of the schedule upcoming here, I'm going to go through a quick Thanksgiving podcast, break down all the games, possible plays from the Thursday slate, because, I mean, what's better than tilting while you are eating pie? And then I'm going to go ahead on to the main slate. I'll work on the main slate pod. It's going to be one condensed pod into a game and player breakdown, but should be able to get everything in there for you before the main slate this weekend, so you don't have to listen to two shows as, you know, you're traveling and all that kind of stuff. You just listen to the one show. Also going to try to bring you guys an NBA pod for tomorrow. I'm going to be really pretty busy, okay? I'm going to be buried, but that's okay. I'm good with it. We got to get a bunch done so that we can enjoy the slate upcoming for DFS, and then enjoy the family as well. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the three-game Thursday NFL slate. Of course, you know, you got your 1 o'clock game up there in Detroit, and you got your 4 o'clock game down there in Dallas. I mean, nothing changes. That's a tradition unlike any other. Matthew Stafford and Thanksgiving, they go together. They go together, and I'm glad that Matthew Stafford is a part of my Thanksgiving. Minnesota visiting, so it'll actually be a relevant game. It's nice that they put a divisional game on Thanksgiving. This is an important one for the Lions if they kind of want to stay relevant at all. I think they're pushing on starting to be irrelevant, especially in a very, very deep NFC playoff picture right now. So 44-point total here, and it opened in opened in favor of the Lions, which is kind of bonkers, but it is now flipped completely, obviously, a 4-point shift to Vikings by 3 here, and public money is there. Nobody's gone over or under. I don't mind the under, although I do think 44.5 is a pretty sharp line for this game, with the way the Vikings offense is playing. It really kind of depends on how well, the Lions offense gets going, if you wanted to hammer that over. The matchup advantage obviously belongs to the Minnesota offense. I mean, listen, Detroit's yielded 48 points in the last two games to the Browns and the Bears. Something is going on with this defense. I saw some people talking about it on Twitter. Are they out of gas? Do they just not able to stop the run? Jordan Howard gashed them. We had an Isaiah Crowell sighting in that Cleveland game. You know, two bad offenses that want to run the ball did run the ball and hid their quarterbacks and were able to score anyway. So you certainly have a below-average defense right now in Detroit. They're below average across the board in all categories of AFPA and 25th against the running back right now. So really struggling against running backs. And we've seen Latavius Murray getting a lot more work than Jerick McKinnon, much to my chagrin. But he is there between the tackles hammer, and he's been really good for them. You know, 20 touches, 100 yards, and a touchdown is about his ceiling But he's gotten close to that ceiling in the last couple weeks, and it works for them. You know, especially as the late season goes along, you want to wear down a defense. You put in a monster like Latavius Murray. You know, the Minnesota defense continues to improve. They're healthy. They're inside the top 10 in every single metric. Short week, though, on the road in the division. You know, are they capable of limiting? I think one of the things that we have to be careful about here is we remember, first time these teams met, they only combined for 21 points. And games that come around the second time inside a division usually go even lower scoring than that because teams are familiar with each other. I mean, we saw this with the Bills and the Jets. You're going to start to see this second round of divisional matchups, and they're going to be lower scoring and a little bit more boring than we anticipated. As far as matchups, you know, just like Xavier Rhodes is likely going to shadow Marvin Jones. He did it in week 2-4. He took him out of the game plan, and he's been shadowing the best outside receiver for most teams. So that means that you're probably going to see Golden Tate freed up for some good work out of the slot. He should be fine. He's had some good games against Minnesota in the past. Darius Slay on the opposite side, probably not going to do the same. He didn't do it in week 4. He's probably going to mix and match between Thielen and Diggs. How do you stop Adam Thielen? I don't know. This guy is like, he's like the Midwestern Antonio Brown. You know, he's white. He runs a 4.3. He's one of the best route runners in the NFC. I mean, he's incredible. It's unbelievable to watch him. I was like, okay, this is the week where he slows down. Fuck no. He just takes people out of their shoes. It's unbelievable. So much credit to Case Keenum for being able to just make him so, so fantasy relevant. I mean, it's just ridiculous how good that connection is. You know, so how do you avoid Thielen or Diggs? I mean, I think Diggs is, you know, quietly still contributing quite a few yards and receptions on a weekly basis. I think he went 4 for 60 in his last game. You know, he's been overshadowed by Thielen, but Stephon Diggs still definitely a relevant wide receiver. And in a plus matchup, we know how dangerous he is. So he could be the one that we go to here. Yeah, I mean, back-to-back weeks with 4 receptions, you know, 6 targets, you know, and that in that Washington game, he put up a touchdown, 4 for 78 and a touchdown. In that last Detroit game, he put up 5 for 98 on 7 targets. So it certainly feels like it could be a similar situation for Steph Diggs this week. I think it's a good week to go to him. I mean, you don't sleep on him. He's quiet. He's been quiet. He's going to continue to be good, and Case Keenum knows how to find him. The question you have is the Detroit offense going to be able to do anything? And my gut tells me no. But it's Matt Stafford, and he can pull, you know, a rabbit out of a hat anytime, especially at home as a dog on Thanksgiving Day. He could definitely create some plays. Golden Tate is the same way. So, you know, they get a couple, you know, they get a turnover or something. If they get, you know, a short field, a couple quick points, then this game becomes really, really relevant. Otherwise, the only possible plays that we have from this game is a Vikings onslaught. And I have no problem with a Vikings onslaught. Stacking Keenum with a receiver and possibly the Vikings defense, I don't mind that. I know that defenses and receivers aren't necessarily correlated, but you can find. Maybe you go, I mean, you could even go with 4 Vikings in your lineup. I really do think this is one of the more lopsided matchups that we have on the board. This Vikings team is good. Short week, yes. Division, yes. The Detroit defense is trending in the wrong direction, and it makes it's harder for them. It's harder for a defense on the short week than it is for an offense, especially an offense with elite pass catchers like Minnesota. Chargers at Dallas. This is the afternoon game. This is when, you know, you crack open that first brewski, maybe. You start to get some cocktail peanuts going. Well, I don't know. Actually, sorry. My family's a Thanksgiving dinner. We actually eat dinner like at supper time. Like we don't usually do Thanksgiving at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know some folks do that. My wife's family does that. And I'm always like, I'm fucking worthless for the rest of the day. What am I supposed to do? I had nothing to look forward to. You know, I'm supposed to eat donuts, watch the parade, take a little bit of a nap, mill around, watch the Lions, you know, take a shower, start drinking, then eat too much and fall asleep. That's the progression, right? I mean, that's Thanksgiving Day for me. And luckily, I mean, I'm going to be with my family this year, so I get to do, you know, things in sequence the way that I want to do them. You know, I'm not going to be like, you know, in a food coma trying to watch this Cowboys game at 4 o'clock. Anyway, all right, Chargers has to have the matchup advantage here with the way their defense is playing. I mean, you guys, two of the best edge rushers in the game, clearly high quality linebacker play right now with the way that they have protected the middle of the field, allowing some of the fewest points to tight ends out there. You know, they're basically the miniature Jaguars. And they are not as bad as this record. I mean, remember, they lost two games on the foot of that rookie kicker. And if they, they're 6-4 if they make those. And they are very much in the hunt in the AFC East because this team is good. They are 3 to the quarterback and the wide receiver. They're phenomenal pass defense. And they are, you know, the 30th against the run. They clearly have a run funnel. They clearly have no problem giving up the run. But they do have, I think what the issue with them and the Jags is that the Jags are so dominant on the passing end that they will make up for their deficiencies and what they let you have, and they don't allow explosive runs. The Chargers proved last week that when, you know, Shady went off on them on, you know, 4 or 5 touches in a row, they will allow explosive runs, and Kareem Hunt has allowed the explosive runs. So you don't mind a guy like Alfred Morris in this situation. They're getting Tyron Smith back. No Zeke, the team is trending in the wrong direction, but I do think that, obviously, the offense will get a boost from having Tyron Smith. You protect that edge for Dak. He in the first half of that game, he looked more comfortable. And let's not forget, the Eagles are good, right? The Eagles are very, very good. The Chargers are not as good as the Eagles. That's not a hot take, right? But, you know, I think the Dallas in this situation, I think Dallas will be able to stay competitive with the return of Tyron Smith. That's kind of what I'm saying. They're at home, return of Tyron Smith. Dak now kind of has a little bit more film of what he's doing wrong without these, you know, without these receivers. They looked a little bit more comfortable in the first half. Now I think you see the Cowboys break through to, you know, okay, this is how we survive without Zeke and with, you know, it just, they weren't able to put the ball in the end zone, but I mean, Philadelphia's defense has been phenomenal. I just think you start to see that this team adapt. They started to adapt last week. We saw little breadcrumbs that they were figuring it out, but it only lasted for a half. And now they're going, I think they get another, you know, the short week isn't great, but they get another chance to do it against the Chargers team that has some holes. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're better than their 4-6 record shows. I don't know why I like the Chargers. Like, I prefer the Chargers over the Panthers. I was out of Monday Night Football last night with a Panthers fan, and he's like, hey, man, we have a really great playoff chance. And I was like, I hate the Panthers. And I just realized, like, Sean, you have a bias against the Carolina Panthers. So anytime I talk about the Panthers, keep that in mind. I do have also a bias for the Chargers, which is why I love Keenan Allen. I don't mind Melvin Gordon in this situation. I think that those two are the highest volume plays. The reason that you saw Allen get more involved last week wasn't just because he had a good matchup. A reason you saw him get 12 targets is because they chose to re-involve him. I think they started to see that the part of the offense was struggling because they weren't involving Allen enough. And I think that they made a point. You don't give a guy, you know, he doesn't go from 5 or 6 targets to 12 targets on accident. That was an intentional thing to say, this is our best, biggest wide receiver. We need to feature him more. And it probably happened in the meeting rooms. And they said, you know, Allen was just like, I need the ball. Like, I'm open. And Phillip Rivers was probably like, you're right. I'm not getting you the ball. I need to throw you the ball. And they made a point of getting him more targets. It worked. I think he's in a good spot again. We've seen big receivers assert themselves over this defense. We've seen Orlando Scandrick is just not quite there as a slot corner. I mean, he's good, but he's older. I think, and the other thing you have to remember is Keenan is lining up all over the place. He's running up everywhere. In a similar role to what Alshon Jeffrey did last week. you know, moving around the formation, in and out of the slot, that kind of thing. So I think Allen's one of the better plays on the board. I think he's probably going to get involved. Of course, that's, you know, could be completely null and void. I'm not going to any of the pass catchers, but I will go to Alfred Morris in this situation. So I really don't mind. I don't mind Melvin Gordon. I don't mind Keenan Allen. I don't mind Alfred Morris. And Melvin Gordon really is because the Cowboys allow massive production to receiving in the running backs. Now, he didn't have any receptions in that game against Buffalo, but they weren't really asking him to do that. They just asked him to tote the ball 20 times. He did. He only did 50% of the snaps. They gave the rest of the snaps to Eckler. Fine. I mean, you're blowing a team out that bad. You don't put your franchise running back on a short, knowing that a short week is coming up and you're going to need him. So I like Gordon in this spot. I think he's an interesting play. He's probably a little bit lower owned than some of the other running backs. Well, probably not. He's the most easily identifiable stud that there is. New York versus Washington. I think the Skins have a nice matchup here. They prove that they are still a good offense. A healthy offensive line does wonders for this team. And I think that they, you know, even against a good Saints defense, a solid Saints defense, they were able to establish themselves. And that pass defense is that the Skins pass defense is still good. You know, you're going to struggle against Drew Brees. You're not going to struggle against the B team, New York Giants. So the possible return of Jordan Reed could mean that Vernon Davis may get a fewer receptions, but I think Vern is still going to be very much in play. I think even if Reed plays, you don't have enough receivers out there to not line Vern up on third down, right? I mean, you have Josh Doctson, who's probably going to struggle with Jenkins, listen, the dumbest thing that anybody could have done was tell Janoris Jenkins that he wasn't good. He goes out and snags two interceptions and looks like a beast again in that Kansas City game. I mean, just that guys like that, he can turn it on if he wants to. Maybe he didn't want to in San Francisco. He turned it on. They sat Eli Apple's ass down to be like, listen, you're a liability, kid. You got a big mouth. And he clearly is the rat, by the way. You don't get sat down after all that. He's the rat. He's the rat. He's the problem. Jenkins doesn't like McAdoo, but he's at least a professional. Eli Apple was the rat. He was the one running his mouth. And that's why they sat his ass down, because everybody else is like, man, I'm trying to get paid. You need to shut up, little boy. Anyway, all right. So Giants playing for pride. I still think it's a bad defense, but it's unreliable. I mean, you have good individual players, but they've been playing like a terrible, terrible unit. I mean, do they show up in a divisional game here just to be like, you know, just to make sure that they you know, have a certain degree of pride in it, you know, against a Redskins team that they don't necessarily like? The issue that you have here is you have a very good offensive line that clearly is healthy in the Redskins. You know, once they're healthy, they prove that they've got something for Samaje Perine back there. And you can run on the Saints, right? Right up the gut between the tackles. That's the way to do it. But I think this kid saw something on his previous runs. He just looked way more comfortable, way more patient. He was finding slots. He was finishing runs forward. He wasn't running into the back of his offensive linemen. And maybe it was just the gaps that the Saints were leaving him, but he, even in some tough spots, you thought you were like, oh shit, here's a classic Samaje Perine, you know, 1 yarder. He found little gaps, little holes, and used his strength to just kind of bury through and find 3 or 4 yards and make it a positive run. If you watch those highlights, he looked good. He really did. I mean, and there was not obvious holes. Like, there was a couple spots where there's some obvious holes, and he's not breakaway speed, but he is a good between the tackles runner. And if you want to, I think you could look at him here. I mean, Kareem Hunt, you know, struggled, but he didn't have a bad game. He had 20 carries for 80 yards. I mean, you still had a relatively efficient day from him. So I think Perine is in line. If he gets a touchdown, then he will make it worth it. I think one of the plays that's on the board here beyond Vernon Davis is Evan Engram. I mean, quiet week last week, but the tight end has been an issue for Washington all year. I mean, Kobe Fleener sighting in that New Orleans game. Now, it was obviously, you know, the hurry up offense and everything like that, but Fleener pop for a reason, because you can't exploit the tight end against Washington. It's been a thing that we've seen all year. They're missing linebackers on the defensive side. So a trend that was, you know, exploitable earlier in the year, quietly exploitable, is now even more exploitable with a guy like Evan Ingram, who's probably one of the most, you know, one of the best pass catchers, or is the best pass catcher on this team. So that's it for this game. I like Vern. I like Evan Ingram. I don't mind Samaje Perine. So, hey, let's head over to FanDuel. I'm going to throw together a quick lineup while you guys are listening here, and then I'll get out of here for you and get on with the damn day here. So I think as interesting as this is I kind of want to hammer this Vikings team. I think that they are in a good situation, and I think that they are slightly underrated against a team that's struggling in Detroit. So I'm going to look at Keenum Thielen maybe, or a Keenum Diggs stack to start off here. And I'm probably going to go with the Minnesota defense as well, knowing that Stafford will probably take a sack or two, knowing that Stafford will also possibly cough one up. You can go to the Keenum Diggs stack and feel good about that. And then the Minnesota defense, and then you want to get some pass catchers involved here, you want to get some other lead pass catchers involved here. So I'm going to look at a guy like Keenan Allen. I like him. He's high priced. And I'm going to run it back with Golden Tate. I'm also going to throw Evan Ingram in there. I think that he has a quiet game. I think he goes a little bit not under the radar necessarily. Although actually Vern is probably the one that goes under the radar. Kyle Rudolph too, by the way, will go under the radar. And Hunter Henry, if he gets the Keenan Allen treatment this week, there's bounce back week coming for Hunter Henry somewhere, guys. It's somewhere out here, somewhere over the rainbow. As far as, you know, running back, I think you have to look at Alfred Morris for that price. And then I think you have to also possibly consider Perine or Melvin Gordon. And actually, let's try to get Melvin Gordon in here, and maybe I will see. So there's a couple ways that you can do this. I just went a little bit of editing. So I can go to the Keenum Diggs stack, and then fit in Golden Tate, Keenan Allen, Vernon Davis, okay? Or I can go to Keenum and Diggs with my running backs as Alfred Morris and Alfred Morris, maybe Jerick McKinnon, something like that combination. Maybe a Latavius, you know, if you go Latavius Murray there, you fool around with it. But I think that the move here is to pay up for, you know, high floor situations. So, you know, I know it seems like Case Keenum is not really a great play, but I think he really probably is in this situation, especially if you consider, you know, Dak against a good Chargers pass defense, although I don't mind Dak at home. He just, you know, he hasn't been the same. He really hasn't been the same in this offense. You don't really want to bet on that. So I'm paying up for things like Kai Forbath and the Minnesota Vikings defense here to correlate them with possibly with a goal line back like Latavius Murray. So, you know, here's one example, one way of doing this. Okay. And actually, I can fit Adam Thielen in here as well if I wanted to. I can fit Thielen in here. So this is the pay up for wide receiver type model. Case Keenum, Alfred Morris, Latavius Murray, Adam Thielen. So Vikings onslaught with Kai Forbath and the Minnesota Vikings defense. And actually, I don't even know if FanDuel will let me do that. And then Golden Tate, Keenan Allen, Vernon Davis. So I think that's the way that I'm going to do it. Yeah, I can't have four players here. So if I were to pivot off of these guys, I would probably pivot off of not going to pivot off of Thielen. I guess Murray might be the guy that I pivot off of and maybe try to go up to Samaje Perine. Yeah, I guess I could do Perine and oh no, I can't do Perine Diggs. Anyway, all right, you can fool with it, guys, but I think that you get a sense of the player pool. Good luck. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Player breakdown for the main slate pod coming up in just a little bit.